Coming up on KUCB News, counselors debate the future of Unalaska's fire division, and elementary schoolers use salmon to build their skill sets. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. Is it time for Unalaska's firefighters to have their own department separate from the police force, or should both divisions continue living under the Consolidated Department of Public Safety? Those questions sparked heated discussion at last night's city council meeting.
The fire department is in a crisis mode now. And it's been that way for years.
Counselor Dave Gregory is a former fire chief who worked in the division for 24 years. He said fire often takes a back seat to the police force under the current department structure. Fire officials report to the director of public safety rather than having a direct line to the city manager. They're also responsible for all dispatch work, whether calls pertain to fire, police, or emergency medicine.
Why do you think fire departments don't like combined departments? They don't like to work for the police chief. I'm sorry, that's the way it is.
Several counselors argued that creating an independent fire department would help with its stability. The division has gone without a fire chief for about a year and suffered a decline in volunteer participation. But City Manager Dave Martinson said separating police and fire would require several costly changes. He says an independent fire department would need more staff, new equipment, and possibly its own facility in order to follow state security regulations. Councilor Rochelle Hatfield disagreed. She said the two departments should work side by side.
Some people are under the understanding that the separation of department is literally cutting it in half and having fire on this end and police on this end, and the two cannot co-mingle together. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is having a fire chief who solely takes care of fire issues and reports to the city manager.
It's unclear if separation would actually solve the fire division's problems, according to volunteer Sherry Coleman. During public comments, she told counselors that department structure isn't the real issue.
Volunteerism may be down, but it's rebuilding. And that's the nature of having a volunteer service. It's going to have its ups and downs.
The City Council will continue discussing the Department of Public Safety at a future meeting. Councilors have asked City Manager Martinson to schedule a special work session soon. Small fish are making a big difference for students in Unalaska. Every year, the students raise and release hundreds of baby salmon, helping build the island's resource and learning useful skills in the process. KUCB's Barrett Wilbur has more.
Before school lets out for the summer, Unalaska students have one final task, releasing hundreds of salmon fry into Illiluk Creek. A small army of elementary school students crests the riverbank, clutching styrofoam cups.
Anyway, yeah, no running because it's kind of slick out here, okay? We don't want the fish to fall out of the cups, so.
They lean in close, tip their cups.
All right, be very careful, very gentle.
And pour tiny streams of coho into the creek. This marks the beginning of a long journey, not only for the fish, but for the students. Just ask science teacher Stephen Gregory.
In 7 or 8 years, they'll be in the class and they'll be handing fish to their cousins or their little brothers or sisters or whatever they are, and they'll remember how special it was for them to take part.
For 14 years, Gregory has led the school's hatchery program. His students have a lot of responsibility. Hundreds of lives in their hands.
They're employees of the hatchery, basically. So they catch the fish in the fall. They strip the eggs from the females and fertilize them with the males. They keep track of all the records. They do all the water tests. They remove dead eggs. They prepare the food. They feed the fish.
During his tenure, Gregory estimates his students have released 40,000 salmon. But unlike a traditional hatchery, the fish aren't his highest priority. The students are.
Sure, they're ready to get jobs for fish and game or fish and wildlife, like basic entry-level tech jobs.
Gregory knows that students who struggle in a traditional academic setting can shine in his class. By the time the fish are released, his students walk away with a professional skill set, one that's especially handy in a small town with a worldwide reputation for fish. In Unalaska, I'm Barrett Wilbur.
State ferry service would be severely reduced if the legislature fails to pass a budget in time to avoid a July 1st government shutdown. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at what that would mean for one small community in southeast Alaska.
An Alaska Marine Highway shutdown would hit a lot of people in Angoon. Just ask Albert Kukesh III, the Southeast Island community's city clerk.
The ferry system is our lifeline. People use it all the time, and myself included, so it would be devastating to not have that option available to us.
Residents sail twice weekly round trips to Juneau to shop for groceries, household items, and other essentials. Kukesh says Angoon merchants would be left with empty shelves if there's no service.
We do have the one store, and they utilize the ferry system as well. If they have to start shipping their groceries in via plane or, getting their own barge, that definitely, hits us in the wallet also.
The State Department of Transportation has released a list of services that would be curtailed should the budget go unfunded. Spokeswoman Meadow Bailey doesn't expect a total shutdown, but there would be cuts.
It might be some closures, some reductions. It might be fewer hours. So really, we're not sure what the impacts will be yet. That's what we're working through with the Department of Law right now.
They're considering which services are required by the Alaska Constitution. Others might have to continue in some form due to federal requirements. Transportation cuts would also hit road maintenance, state-run airports, the Whittier Tunnel, and numerous building repair and other capital projects. Kukesh, Angoon City Clerk, says ferry cutbacks would also hurt lodges and guides, as well as personal travel.
The ferry system is the most economical way for many of us to travel to and from. And, with the summer months coming up, a lot of traveling is going to be taking place. So, not only does that, hurt us getting out of Angoon, it hurts, people getting into Angoon also.
The ferry system sails 10 vessels to and from 35 coastal communities in southeast, south central, and southwest Alaska. Most have no road connection. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's not happy with the fast-track process the Senate Majority Leader is using to bring a new health care bill to the floor without any hearings. APRN's Liz Ruskin interviewed Murkowski yesterday in a tunnel between her Senate office and the Capitol.
Murkowski is a member of the Health Committee, so she would have a chance to work on the bill if it were going through the normal committee process. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has invoked what's called Rule 14. That could send the bill straight to the Senate floor with little or no chance to amend it.
Do I think that's the best route to go? No, I'm a process person.
Murkowski says she hasn't even seen the bill yet.
Yeah, I've got a problem with it. If I'm not going to see a bill before we have a vote on it, that's just not a good way to handle something that is as significant and important as health care.
McConnell couldn't say on Tuesday when senators would see the bill or whether they were on track to pass it before the end of the month, as he wants.
I'm not going to answer that with specificity. Our goal here is to move forward quickly. The status quo is unsustainable.
Alaska has by far the highest health care costs in the country, and under current law, Alaskans who buy insurance on the individual market get subsidies that take the high cost into account. The health care bill the House passed would replace the subsidies with tax credits that vary only by age, not location. The House would also move a lot of Medicaid costs to the states. It's not clear how closely the Senate bill drafters will stick to the House version. Murkowski says she's had plenty of opportunities to discuss Alaska's specific needs with the senators who are working on the bill behind closed doors.
So whether I'm invited into every meeting or not, When I've got something to say, I say it.
But are they saying anything to you that would lead you to believe they're taking it into account in the bill?
I don't know, because I have no idea if we even have a bill.
Murkowski had just returned from a White House luncheon on health care. She was seated right next to the president. Video footage shows she wasn't sitting squarely in her chair when the president was talking. Social media erupted with speculation that she was trying to distance herself. Murkowski says she was just turned in her seat to see the president better.
I'm an active listener, and I like to look at people when they're talking.
Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.